Broadcasting on all frequencies from the jungle of death, you're listening to Babes in the Woods.
Batman!
That was pretty good.
This is probably the more ridiculous corner of the jungle of death, but we're back podcasting again, Babes in the Woods. I'm Nyssa, joined by Flumpy and Lindsay.
Hello.
Can we call you Flumpy on here?
Yes.
I can't remember if it's Flumpy or Rachel.
It's both! Like in real life.
So today we're going to talk about Batman.
Yeah,
we cannot hope to be comprehensive on this topic, so we're mostly going to concentrate on movies, especially the recently concluded Nolan trilogy. So take it away, I guess.
Too many bats on the dance floor.
Too many bats.
Too many.
Too many.
But I would say...
Too many bats conveniently appearing at exactly one time in the entire last
year. I really, really, really liked this movie. More than I expected to, I think, because of the fake-out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset. I was really upset when I thought Batman had died. And I know that that makes me a sucker, because, one, I thought Batman had died.
I had that moment too, though. I was like, oh my god, I know Nolan said he'd never do Batman again, but is he killing him?
I was like punching my brother in the arm, like, no, this is too Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, no, because the thing is too, like, the foreshadowing of the movie seems to be saying, like, Batman needs to, like, have another life for himself, or, like, it's no life at all, right? That's all of those Alfred quotes. So I was like, I really want Alfred to be right on this one. And then he was! And it was just, like, a shiny, happy, beautiful ending, and I loved it. I loved how uplifting it was. It felt like, because Nolan's Batman is so much a post-9/11 Batman, and it's so much about dealing with... It's about being a catharsis, I think, for our feelings about terrorism, you know, which I think this movie, again, did really beautifully.
Absolutely.
But
I think that it felt so good to have it end on an up note. Like, you don't need to be... Like, you can be sad about this still, but there's so much to look forward to. Like, you can be haunted and you can be okay.
The only thing disappointing about it is that, you know we're not going to get any more of them, so we can't explore any of the stuff that he was, like, throwing out there at the end. Like, oh, here's this thing. Like, here's that thing. Like, oh, by the way, Robin. Like, and I didn't even have to call him Dick.
I really loved it, too. It's so funny because I'm... You know, looking back
it's
at it.
It's more like a Nightwing situation than Robin.
I agree that it's more of a Nightwing situation.
No, I think it's definitely a Nightwing situation, I think. I really liked it, though, just because it felt like it felt like such a great conclusion to that trilogy in terms of, like, really wrapping everything together. I also, it's
so
funny because, well, and people have been pointing out, like, flaws in it, and that's fine, but I don't know when I've gone to the movies in a long time. I mean, granted, you have Avengers, which felt really, really good this year, too.
It was amazing.
When you have that great feeling of walking out of a movie and just having that satisfaction, that's so rare sometimes. I mean, there are so many movies I've walked out of and gone, well, that's $13 I wasted.
I agree.
Right?
I agree, and certainly there were some, like, you know, people keep pointing out plot holes, but what I liked about this Batman is it felt like a big... happy meal, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm eating it,
was good.
And I'm eating
it,
and it's great, and he's down in a pit, and he's gonna climb his way out, and I'm just like, this is delicious, and I could totally sit here for 3 hours.
There was exactly one plot hole that made me angry, though.
Yeah.
How in the world did he get back on the island? Like, yep, you got out of the pit, but you're not Batman anymore, you got 2 cents, and you probably don't even have that unless you were storing it in your colon. So how on earth did you get back onto the island, which is being patrolled quite heavily by Bane?
I like that that's your problem. My key problem, I would argue, and we'll talk about this more, I think, in our ladies section, is Talia.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I almost had a problem with that, mostly because it felt too obvious to me, but...
Yeah, no, okay, yeah. We'll talk about that more in a bit, though. Yeah. I would say that Batman probably skated across... the frozen lake thing.
Look, if Commissioner
Gordon
can't
Pittsburgh.
Make it across the ice,
Commissioner
Batman weighs
Commissioner
twice as much
Gordon.
As Gary Oldman.
I love He's Commissioner right? Gordon so much. There are so many times I thought they were going to kill
He's
Commissioner
got
Gordon.
Grandpa.
I was so scared. I was like, you cannot kill Gary Oldman. No.
Yeah, I was really mad when I thought that was true also.
Yeah. It felt like when... what's his face? The wonderful Joseph Gordon-Levitt character. What's his name?
Yes. Oh, Blake.
Robin's his
Blake,
real...
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake. when Blake is like, you know, like, he's like, your hands seem plenty dirty to me, Commissioner. Like, yeah, you know, it's a wonderful, yeah, it's a wonderful,
when you, like, put him down there.
It's a wonderful perspective to have, because certainly Commissioner Gordon was more than willing to take advantage of Batman's offer. So even though he's a heroic character, he's a flawed hero, but again, that's the whole point of the whole trilogy. And he's wonderful, but it's great to see Nolan say, yeah, like, here's a person that's, like, you know, looked up to both of these men his whole life, and he's saying, like, you can be wrong, and I'm still gonna work with you through this incredibly terrible occupation, and this major terrorist threat, even though I disagree with what you did, like, inherently, like, we need to be, you know, a team. I thought that was a really good message. I also really liked, you know, I went into it, I think you both know, a little bit skeptical of the, like, whole 99%er issue, like, it coming into this, but, I really enjoyed the way that it was, first of all, there was a ruse by Talia and Bane. P.S. Can we talk about Bane for, like, 5 minutes? Because I'm in love with him.
You absolutely can. Because I was cracking up every time he opened his
damn mouth. I loved it. Anytime I go to do anything, I hear Bane's voice in my head now. I'm like, oh, Miss Kronk, you need to brush your bars.
Do you guys play Diablo at all?
I mean, that's a little more Swiss than me, but
he sounded exactly like Deckard Cain.
I love.
Oh my god, you're right! Holy shit, you're right!
I want to marry him. Plus, when Talia friend zones him,
listen.
When Talia friend zones him at the end, which P.S. worst friend zoning of all time.
Like, that was pretty awful.
But I just wanted to go and hold him and be like, don't worry, Bane. You can hang out with me in your awesome coat and be awesome and strong and, like, make the weirdest voice forever.
That was reminiscent, I will say, however, of our most infamous coat, the Triple X coat.
The Triple X
coat. That coat is so gnar.
Duh. We had to invent a new adjective.
We did have to invent a new adjective.
I don't even know what I was trying to say. Still, 10 years after the fact.
For any listeners on this, what essentially happened was we were all watching XXX and Lindsay in the middle of this great scene where all of a sudden, well, great in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Well, Vin Diesel walks out in that fantastic coat, and Lindsay just goes, "Oh my god, that coat is so gnarly."
I don't know what I was trying to say, listeners, so don't even, but, like, it was
anyone else.
It was a coat moment that I could not sum up in words.
It's true. I definitely was reminded of it, like, when he first started striding out with the collar popped up. I was like, Bane, you're Triple X.
I have a coworker I really don't like, and every once in a while, when he's being a jerk to me, I imagine Bane's voice in my face saying, I don't know what I should break first, your body or your spirit. Bane is really awesome, though. Bane is so awesome. I would say part of the reason I am, and again, we're going to talk more about this, but, like, part of my problem with Talia was I don't like Bane as the puppet. Like, I liked him so much as the true villain that I was slightly annoyed when, first of all those internet rumors, you know, like, oh, you can't have her in this. Like, we even said that, I think, in our first podcast, we were like, oh, well, she has to be Talia, you know, because she's, like, the only other name actress in this movie. But I managed to convince myself that she wasn't, which, good job, Christopher Nolan. But then why does she need to be? You know?
Well, it's also that the thing where Shadows it was really confusing. Nice. If you know anything about the mythology and the stories that all of these films are based on, when they go Bane as Ra's al Ghul's son, I was like, but that can't be. And so I kept the whole time, I was like, that can't be right.
That's it's not weird. Actually possible.
So it was weird. I didn't really like either option in terms of backstory.
No,
I was
but like, I don't understand why Bane can't be a member of the League of Shadows. Then we are left with that terrible Talia monologue. Which is the most problematic scene in the movie to me, where she's like, my father didn't like Bane, but I liked Bane, so then we left and we formed our own special league, but then you killed my father, so I was mad about it, so now I'm destroying Gotham. I was like, this is the worst.
Yeah.
Right. The worst.
It was terrible motivation for any character.
I did like gave Bane the opportunity to say, you'll just have to imagine the fire, though.
Because
that was pretty good.
Well, it was awesome because she friend zones him, and then he's just like, oh, fuck this shit.
Right? He was like, well, why the hell am I listening to you? Like,
oh, my God. Bane is so awesome. I love Bane.
Bane is great.
He was pretty great. And I really enjoyed that. And, you know, I guess this is the kind of thing you expect from Christopher Nolan, like, to demonstrate faithfulness when necessary. But I really appreciated that aside from the dialogue, which desperately needed the tweaking, the whole fight with Batman and the spine moment was exactly, it was like frame for frame.
Yeah.
What happened in the comics. And like, I thought that was really delicately handled and I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot too.
And I did also appreciate that he didn't just shout, I break you. As he does in his roid rage.
But I mean, I would have been fine if he shouted that. I just want to hear his voice and everything. I want Tom Hardy to narrate the novelization of this movie. On audiobook, and I want to listen to it all the time.
Yeah. And he walked into the boardroom and he was like, oh, good of you to join us. I was like, oh my god, Deckard Cain.
People of Gotham, enjoy your city.
Right? It was like, he sounds like a poor Sean Connery. And was like, no, it's Deckard Cain.
That was what was so funny to me, is a lot of people, I guess, couldn't understand what he was saying. I actually didn't have...
No problem.
I had some problems. Like, there were a couple times when I couldn't understand.
I have
know
a much harder
saying.
Time understanding what Batman is saying.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. I did too.
But luckily enough, he wasn't talking very often. Most of the time, he was just like, ah!
Right? Yeah,
falling in ropes.
Who knew that the bat suit could cause throat cancer? That was like that would go into remission as soon as you take it off.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, I will say okay. So, I know that it was like really like in some ways sort of a blatant setup. But how much did you love Alfred's story at the beginning? Like, I went to this cafe every year on this day, and I just wanted to look over. I didn't want you to talk to me. I just wanted to look over and see you with a woman and maybe some kids. Like, it's all that I wanted. And then there he is, Bruce Wayne. Just, like, glancing at him, like, I still love you, old friend. Which is great, because we have that moment of forgiveness, right? Because we feel so bad for Alfred.
Right.
Alfred's, like, trying to stage an intervention. And, like, he's Bruce Wayne, so he can't stop, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say that that was another one of my favorite scenes, was that scene with Catwoman before she shoots through the tunnel. Where she's just like, you don't owe them anything. You know, because that's the other thing is I think anyone who's ever had a job that was too much for them identifies a little bit with Bruce Wayne in this movie. Like, a job where too much was demanded of them, which I feel like is most Americans at this point. Like, we're all feeling a little beleaguered, a little overtaxed in the jobs that we're doing for not enough money, because that's what the economy means. And then there he is, and he's just like, I'm going to get out of a stupid prison camp pit thing, and then I'm going to own everyone.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to live happily ever after with Catwoman, who is a fox. Her ass
she was
in this?
Awesome. I was really
she was
surprised.
So well done.
I thought I was not going to like Catwoman, and then I really liked her. I love the scene in the kind of early on in the movie where she's having that deal in the bar or the restaurant, maybe, and then the like SWAT team comes in and she acts like the victim. I was like, that is amazing. That's
it was
exactly
so good.
All of her fighting is really good, too. Like, it always feels really convincing.
The choreography was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So good. Because you get old fighting Batman, too. Like, none of his moves feel as... They've clearly, like, scaled back a little bit of that acrobat side of it. And so he's tired, he's broken, he's got that thing on his knee. I loved it. I loved broken
down
Bruce Wayne.
That was so good. You're very welcome to try it, Alfred.
Yeah,
that was really good.
And then Alfred telling him the whole time, like, you're an old retired athlete, like, what are you trying to do? Like, why don't you just do this through, like, the real channels that you can utilize because you're really privileged? And Batman being like, this is the only way I know how to do this, Alfred. Like, that conflict is beautiful, like, and so well done. But
that moment when he tells him, though, oh, it, like, broke my heart when he's, like, telling him that Rachel was going to go with Harvey Dent.
I know.
Right. That was so awful, and I was just like,
Alfred,
God,
that's cold. Like, that's
some cold, cold shit.
I was just about to say that.
But I would say I was really pleased it was revealed, though, because I hate series where shit like that lingers on.
Yeah.
Just
like,
yeah, just
oh, I was
out.
Destroyed, so now they'll never know. It's like, it's the whole stupid George R. R. Martin thing again, where now I have no idea how Jon Snow is going to find out who his parents are, because everyone is dead. And I guess now I'm just relying on what's-his-face, the weird frog man. Krogna-man. let's compare our ladies.
I totally do.
No, they're totally awesome. Like, they're the best ones.
They are awesome, but of all the people, that's who I'd pick out for Nyssa to love the most.
There's a Facebook quiz now that'll tell you what house you're in. It was really funny. This girl I know got Greyjoy, like, Blacktown.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, no, totally black. And their sigil on Facebook totally looks like a set of evil ovaries.
Nice. Oh, that's true, because it's a squid instead of, like, a regular old octopus. So it's got the
life. Here's your female reproductive parts.
No, but it does, because it's, like, the two really long tentacles, the hunting ones, yes. Look like fallopian tubes. Like, it's real bad.
I'm going to, don't worry, listeners, I'll post it on our blog.
Yeah, oh, wow, I hadn't even thought of that.
No,
yeah.
It's totally, like, I was just like, whoa, so apropos. But, I want to take the quiz, but then I hate the way Facebook tracks everything you do.
Yep, me too. I won't do it.
Me too.
I have fake Facebook accounts so I can do shit like that, so maybe I will.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, no, you gotta have a dummy account where you can let them track you to their heart's delight.
That's, like, way more committed than I am to Facebook.
I'm really committed to evading Facebook. I'm a Facebook terrorist. Just like Bane and his plot against the city.
Oh my god.
I love that.
I wish they'd explain more about his mask, but I mean, I guess there's only so much you can do.
Do you think he's still alive? Like,
because it was like, I don't know, it seemed like some sort of drug atomizer, like, at the end.
It is. Yeah, no, it's, well, yeah. It's to numb the pain in his face, right? And, like, what we know from, like...
But is it just pain in his face? Like, we never saw his face.
I think that there's a lot of pain in his face from where that doctor just jacked him up.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true.
Because that seems dreadful. That prison is the worst place ever. Yeah. I love that they spoke German inexplicably. Mm-hmm. Vasa.
What?
Vasa.
Is
isn't it Vasa? Yeah. Isn't that German? Am I making that up?
I was looking up the chant earlier, actually, because I thought it was cool. It's Moroccan.
Oh, it's so good sounding. I thought it sounded German, but that's just because it was so cool sounding. And to me, German is the coolest sounding language.
It was really neat. It was, who was doing it? Hans Zimmer, I think. Because, you know, who else for something of this caliber? But, well, that's not true. There's a few options. But but with the, you know, bass-heavy stuff, it had to be. But, yeah, he, like, found the chant and, like, crowdsourced it, apparently. Like, he got people to record it around the world, just like fans.
So cool.
To record the two words, because he wanted hundreds of thousands of voices. And, like,
it's
that's Basa? It.
What's the second word?
Here, let me look it up. Thanks, it's something Basara, I believe.
That's such a great.
It was so beautiful. Like, I want to, like, so well. If I were to work out more than I do, like, I would just want that on loop. Like, just go.
Let me
well,
see I mean, if I can find it. Deshi Basara.
Deshi Basara?
Yes. And it means he rises.
Oh my god.
So good. Yes, that's right.
Thank so good.
What I really liked about this movie, and I think that on its own, it would be an okay movie,
mm-hmm.
but I think that as part of this trilogy, it's just so beautiful.
Conclusion to the trilogy, it's kind of perfect.
Yes.
It's great, because I feel like your second installment should always be your darkest, the mm-hmm. third one should always have that light of hope. I'm a big fan of Return of the Jedi. Not everyone is. I like the smallest of people end up making the largest of differences interpretation of the Ewoks as opposed to annoying as shit.
No, they're wonderful! Little teddy bears help us fight the Empire!
Some people hate the Ewoks, I never understood it.
It's just that people are older than us when they watch Jedi for the first time, I feel like your level of annoyance with anything that feels like a little childlike, it's certain ages, right? So, like, I imagine that first crop of kids, like, those 14-year-olds that were watching New Hope for the first time. Or, you know, like, only the first installment of a trilogy that has no other parts. So, anyway, so, like, they're watching it, they're, like, 14 years old, and then they're 17 years old. And then they're 20 years old, and there are teddy bears. You know, like, I try to keep that in mind. Like, at 20, I was totally insufferable and didn't like things enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I think of. I always think of Eric Foreman, actually, because of that zombie show and
that's
his obsession
with it.
That's
a really good idea.
So I'm like, okay, you would be a jerk then. But it's I really like it too because there are so many parallels between Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight. Like you have this sort of terrorist activity that's happening seemingly at random in the city. You have you know, like what amounts to a hostile takeover. People are being held hostage. You know, like, certainly it's more long form in this final installment, but you have so many, like, the plot echoes in a really, like, beautiful way. And Nolan knows what he's doing. Like, when I was first watching the movie, I was like, you know, like, I was watching it and I was thinking of us doing this podcast, so I was a little like, what's going on? Why is this sort of the same plot arc? And then I was like, it's the same plot arc because he's driving home a point about it And I was like, that's really cool. That's really smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, it's very literary. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah. to, like, draw that again and have you see it in a new way and have you, see, like, you know, like, the point about the hope in the city, too, is made in both movies. Like,
yeah.
they choose not to flip the key and blow up the second barge. You know, like, the convicts versus the civilians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in this one, too, you see, like, you know, like, we're not going to try to cross that bridge. We're going to live under this regime, and we're going to live together. We're going to make it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really good. It's really hopeful. It really, makes you think better of people, even if it is fictional, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I think it's also great in terms of, having that moment also get turned against the people of Gotham, that idea when their own
yeah.
hope is being used against them. And yeah. seeing yeah. Blake's reaction to that too, when he's like, you're goddamn fools. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, now that you've got this hope, you're now being such fucking idiots about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really like too, that there's the aspect of, the hopelessness in this, yeah. like the Joker is in some ways a fairer character, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. there's genuinely like they're empowered to blow each other up or to not blow each other up. Whereas
right. definitely their option, whereas yeah. Talia never gives them that option.
Yeah, Bane is like, I killed this guy that can do this, and then Talia's mm-hmm. like, I'm flooding this place where you could put this thing. And it just seems like they pull out all the stops in a way that no other villain has done, which is great too, because you have that culmination, it rises yeah. Yeah. and it grows more urgent than previous installments, and it's just great. I just love it. I just wanna roll around in it. I just wanna take it in.
I think also in Nolan's trilogy in general, Gotham itself is such a great character, like Gotham the city. And I like yeah. that it changed as much as I am. I love the little shout-outs to Chicago in Dark Knight. It's great when you're like, oh my god, land of Lincoln, so Gotham's where Lincoln lived. Huh? And you're just like, well, that's where he was from. That's
good. Well, and the bus in this movie had an Illinois plate.
Yeah, and I love that
also, Gotham has always been Chicago. Everyone...
Well, yeah.
People have disagreements about that, Nissa. But I always personally, I really liked though that Nolan was like, I'm not gonna make it New York, and mm-hmm. then I'm gonna take it out of Chicago and I'm gonna put it in Pittsburgh. I think because the bridges are so important in this movie,
yeah,
the
move to exactly Pittsburgh is
crucial.
Well, plus I think it's important to remember that it is Gotham City and not any place in particular.
Yes.
So like mm-hmm. the precisely. Fact that it's been Chicago, New York, Pittsburgh, like it's all these different places because it's Gotham.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's anywhere you want it to be.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh also anywhere that like
fits the story, you know?
I also liked, okay, so another thing I really liked about the main villains in this movie, Talia and Bane, is that in previous movies, our villains have been entirely homegrown, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like they came from Gotham and they see, you know, like you've got the mobster and you've got, well, the Scarecrow is the League of Shadows guy, so that doesn't count. But like you've got like, you know, these foreign elements that are increasingly right. like sort of coming mm-hmm. In each movie, and I thought that was so cool. But in this one, you've got like basically an entirely hostile takeover, and the mm-hmm. point is that they don't believe in Gotham because they're not right. in Gotham. And I thought that was such a good touch because it's so much about community and the way you see right. your community versus the way people on the outside see it.
Yeah. It's also a really good evolution because one of the things that's so great about the Joker is the idea that he knows people so well. He knows Harvey Dent so well. He knows exactly what the people of Gotham are going to do. So what was great was that you have the Joker who seems like he's just in the psyche of Gotham. And then you have these people coming in, like you're saying, and they're imposing their own views onto the world of
because
Gotham.
Because it
was
has
great.
To be burned and started from the ground up.
Yeah.
Isn't that
right.
what Ra's al Ghul says? That, like, exactly. You just got to start yeah. over.
I love the cameo with the Scarecrow, though, again.
That's Scarecrow is great.
Also, can we talk about how awesome that bench was?
Yeah.
Like, with like reams of paper. It like looked exactly like it had come out of a comic, and I was like, I love that.
Loved
so
it. And I loved it. Death by Exile. Boom! Right. Suck it! Like, it's so, right. it's so good.
Like, by the way, I'm still a dick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So do we want to do our lady comparison?
Let's do our lady comparison.
Ladies side by side. So in what's her name? Is it Roz? What's her name?
Talia.
But what's her fake name when she's
Miranda.
Miranda. So at the beginning, Nolan really fooled me with her. Like, yeah, I started to buy it. I started to buy the idea of this woman who's, like, just genuinely, like, interested in Wayne Enterprises, because we've always sort of had that angle, and, like, Fox mm-hmm. seemed to trust her, so I was like, okay, like, maybe I was totally wrong on this. And then she turned around and...
Like, mm-hmm. ta-da, you were right all the time.
I hate... She's still very problematic to me as a character. I don't understand why she... Doesn't she already know... Okay, it's been a couple weeks for me since I saw the movie, so Nessie, you're going to have to refresh my memory on this. Okay. He already trusts her, right, with all the nuke information before she sleeps with him in his weird turned-off powerhouse, because they stole all of his money.
Yeah, she knew about the paper and everything. Like, she knew about all that stuff a long time ago. Like, she's known about it
before. So I don't understand why she... I guess the point is to make him suffer more, correcto?
I guess so.
I think so, and also I think because she wants to...
That is one slow-ass knife, but...
But, like, also to insinuate herself, I think, into his life in another way. Like, to draw him out, because it's that whole idea of hope, and then hope being smashed. Right. She kind of almost seems to drive him back to being Batman. It's like she really wants him to be Batman again, so just so she can crush him. Right. Because if he's just like this tired old man in a mansion, there's no crushing to be done, I feel like.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same investment. That's that. That makes sense. Okay, so along with that, I would say that another storyline I found sort of problematic was the stock market thing.
That one was weird.
I understand that, like, again, we're trying to talk about, like, who has power and where power lies, and, like, the fact that Bane exploits the guy who's on the Wayne Enterprises board but also has his business so that he can dig the tunnels to trap the policemen. So it's a day when the stock market is taken hostage. Who thinks that Bruce Wayne actually sold all of his stocks?
Right, yeah, that's my thing, too.
Like, come on. I mean, like, I understand that we probably don't have the most credible media in Gotham City, but, like, let's get a clue on this one. Yeah. And, like, it would be overturned anyway, because, like, okay, like, at the end of the movie, too, they're talking about, like, oh, he died, basically. Like, his only, you know, like, real resources were the estate and, like, his endowment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, no! It would all go back to him, because that's dumb. That's really, really dumb. Right. And... Yeah. People who have money care about it enough to have, like, there are, like, crazy laws in place about, like, stocks and stock security.
And there's, like, redundancies among redundancies.
Yeah.
I guess
all kinds of nonsense that happens to trap money where it is.
But I'm going to suspend my disbelief in Nolan's universe. I will just say that that was, at times, like, to me, like, and again, the movie, as I said before, I just want to, like, make it my best friend. I just want to, like, hold it to my chest. It makes me feel all happy inside. But at times I did feel like there were some things that were unnecessary, like that you could have wrapped up in a neater, tidier package, but I don't mind it because with Nolan, I expect the intricacies, like the inceptionness of it. So, and I mean, anything that gets Bane on a motorcycle, like throwing yuppies around is fine.
No, I like that a lot.
But Miranda as a ruse for Talia, how did we feel about it?
She works as a ruse. I think that she works as a ruse, but I feel like I didn't buy a hunt. Well, I don't know. I guess there were parts where I kind of had that moment, because they're trying to give you this push and pull between Selena Kyle and Miranda Tate. Yeah.
And that's what bothered me the most, is she's good. Right? Selena Kyle's bad.
Like, Selena Kyle was so clearly going to be who he was going to end up with, just
she's
because
so
a,
much better.
It's always going to be Selena Kyle. That's the whole point.
Because everybody ships Batman and Catwoman, except me.
But I loved.
Who
I
do you
really
even
loved
ship?
The, they have this great.
Do you ship
banter.
Anyone? Do you believe
almost
in...
never?
Yes, exactly, never. Exactly. And so you don't get to like.
I don't believe the heroes get to be happy.
Oh my god.
Well, that's not like always true, but I definitely believe that about Harry Potter. But we're not going to get into that right now.
Harry Potter.
let's not get into Ginny Weasley and how much we dislike her. Speaking of bad female
non-characters,
right?
But Mother's I really... Service.
Both of these characters had more personality than Ginny Weasley. How about that?
That's exactly true. Yeah. Five although I have Ginny's to say, I love Marion Cotillard, but her death scene was terrible.
Right?
Like, the worst death scene I've ever seen in my life.
Right? Like, which makes me let's feel see like what kind of awkward fake. Angles we can create here.
Well, it was also just like, she literally was talking and then just went, bleh.
Right,
and she was wearing some weird poncho the whole time. I think she had a baby in real life.
Oh yeah, that outfit looked a lot more like her comic outfit.
I was like,
It was really interesting, though, how Batman didn't pick up on it. And I know that he's probably not the smartest of, you know, he's not the most observant of boyfriends, let's say.
Right.
But,
Batman's a bad boyfriend.
You changed your hair. You changed your... I can't do the Batman voice. I wish I could.
You changed your hair.
It's also because I sound like Minnie.
Does this look like a car?
But I feel like he didn't pick up on the fact that, you know, she's wearing something she wouldn't normally wear, as opposed to her, like, fancy rich lady clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting, though, too, that he ends up with, like, the poorer of the two.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like,
I really liked it. I really liked, too, that Selina Kyle's whole motivation was basically to...
capitalism.
She wanted to forgive her student loans, right? Like, yeah. Selina Kyle is such a symbol for, like, the young girl on the go with bad credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
yeah,
like
she is, yeah.
She's like, she's kind of a criminal, and she has, like, these, like, run-ins with the law and stuff, but she just wants a fresh start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just wants...
I love the line, there's that line she has about how, she says something about how you get in a bad situation, and then it's something like you get caught up with these people, and then you're never free. Like, you can never, like, once you're finally even... you never fully get even because they've just got their hooks in you. And that was such a great line in terms of, because Selina Kyle is always like another rich lady that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It always seems to be portrayed as like the socialite and it was bad.
I loved it. I loved
money
her
level
her, like...
as well as this. And I loved that. I did like the only thing about Batman losing all of his money and Bruce Wayne losing all of his money is that reaction she has where she's genuinely sorry and she. And, you know, and that was a great moment as far as fully realized characters. Like, this might be one of the best Nolan female characters we've ever had.
It definitely is. She definitely is. No, I think that, I think Selina Kyle is wonderful. She's really well-developed. She doesn't have as many, I feel like Talia gets all these monologues, right?
Yeah.
I feel like she's always like, oh, we've got to do it for the future of Wayne Enterprises. And then she's like, no, I'm... Ra's al Ghul's daughter, Bane's my friend, and like there's all this stuff. And like Selina's just like, dude, I'm gonna steal your car.
Yeah.
And now I'm gonna let Bane break your back. Okay, I guess
Speaking
I owe you.
Speaking of stealing cars, can we briefly address the world's most polite carjacking?
Yes.
Sir, are you okay? Yeah. I'm a police officer, I'm gonna need your car. Like, okay.
If Joseph Gordon-Levitt walked up to me and said, I'm going to need your car, I'd be like, I'm staying in my car, but you can drive it.
Right. Baby, you can drive my car.
At least yesterday was okay. That was hilarious.
There's got to be a meme somewhere with that.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, though. What a dreamboat. What a
such a dreamboat. Oh, my God.
Can we not use that word?
No, I'm going to use it all the time.
We're going to use it all,
It's the SSGL.
Wow. Wow, that's poor.
Is that the truck noise? I meant for it to be the steamboat noise. But really, I mean, dreamboat.
In what universe is a steamboat a dreamboat?
I don't know, steampunk?
What?
Steampunk dreams.
Wow. I think you're done.
Oh my god.
No, I'm not done. I have more to say. But yeah, Selina Kyle is really, she's an interesting character, like you said, Flumpy, because she's poor, and they're all these wonderful, like, and they do it really well, like, they, like, very briefly outline all these things, like, we don't know exactly what her troubles are, like, we don't know exactly what's, like, preventing her from doing these things, but we do know that she's got a stick-to-itiveness, and she believes in deals, and she believes in her word, and she's...
She also believes in capitalism, because she gets real mad about the whole, like, overthrow, like, this is somebody's home, well, it's everybody's home, no, like, I mean, you're both right. But
yeah, no, I
and I think that that's ultimately what gets her together with Bruce Wayne, because Batman's power is capitalism, and so the one who actually believes in it is the one that gets to be with him.
I was gonna say, I actually thought it was a really nice I thought it was a really good way to tie it back around, actually, to capitalism, as you said, as well. Like, to be like, actually, communism sucks. It was like this weird, like, Dr. Zhivago-esque scene, where they're like, oh, all these people are in the house. Everything's terrible. I used to be a wealthy doctor with a Treblinka. Like, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, everyone's having feelings. They're like, oh, no, we're all human after all. You know, like, it's really, but I did love watching all those rich people get tossed down on the street.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Briefly. It's, like, really satisfying. But only in the way that it would be, which is briefly satisfying.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the great,
because it's also faux communism. Like, it's all just a fake. It's just a diversion, right? To like keep us all our minds off the bomb.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, one of those great moments too. Again, talking about Selena Kyle, and even though this was written before the whole Occupy Wall Street stuff going on, the idea that somebody who you can object to what's happening, but somebody who's talking about a complete overthrow of the status quo forgets what that means. That means anarchy, and anarchy means violence most of the time, and it means that it's not fair. Like, because there might be people who are really good, even though they have a lot of money. That doesn't mean that all rich people are terrible. It just means that some of them are. And that's the point, is that she realizes that. And some poor
people are also terrible.
Like, there are a lot of terrible people.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. I mean, you look at the convicts who have been treated like shit. And that was such an interesting angle, by the way, that I had not expected and I hadn't thought through for the Harvey Dent law, was the idea that a lot of people were unfairly put in jail for the longer sentences. The police state thing.
No, I really...
Absolutely no recourse.
That's a really good... The Patriot Act aspect of it was awesome. Absolutely. Like, when you're like, we've assumed this authority that we were never supposed to have. For the sake of protecting people, we've wound up oppressing people. Like, it's so good. It's so well done.
Yeah. It's great. I think it's also ties into an overall kind of thematic arc for the trilogy about the unforeseen consequences of the present and your choices in the present. I mean, it's like, what mugger thought that killing these two people was going to spawn Batman? Like, and having that go through, having Ra's al Ghul, like the idea of how he trained this guy who ultimately brings him down. Batman not realizing that bringing down Ra's al Ghul is going to only make Talia come back and try to wreck Gotham. Right. And
Slow knives. But I would say, too, what I like about it is at the end of Dark Knight, we see, you know, Batman give up, like, he has this ultimate authoritarian power, right? Like, he has this sonar vision that's based on, like, basically invading people's privacy. And he, like, gives Fox the kill code and he turns it off. But, like, the thing that we forget, because we're watching a superhero movie, is that he's not the only one that's going to have to relinquish authority for things to go back to normal. And, of course, the mayor of Gotham, as played by Bat-Manuel of the Tick,
I'm not the only one who thinks that every time Nestor Carbonell turns
Bat-Manuel. Bat-Manuel is not going to give up his authority. He's just going to use it to make people fearful. Mm-hmm. And then to, like, you know, like, it's just, it's really, really, really good the way Nolan is, like, Batman isn't the person in authority in Gotham. Like, ever,
he's
you know,
not
and,
the
like,
only one, like, as much as you want him to be.
And, and then, like, even Alfred's like, why don't you just be a public figure who has moral authority? Like, why don't you just use your resources?
Use everything except your punching. Like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, Batman's like, I only know how to punch.
Right? Punching is my favorite thing.
I need this mechanical thing to make my legs kick again.
I have no
like,
real
kick
life
kick the shit out of a wall of bricks. Like, all right.
I love the part, though, when he comes back. Okay, so he's, like, climbed out of the pit. And then he's just punching Bane in the face. Because you're going to punch Bane in the face. But
the
Bane's
time
face
that
is so
my brother, and I would like, stop hitting his face. He's got this big metal thing on his face. You're just going to break your hand. You're not hurting him.
Like, no, you've got to punch his face because you've got to stop distributing his like weird drug thing.
Yeah,
his
face
is his only weakness. You got to punch
through
it.
Eventually. In round two.
Also,
I don't know if you remember, but round one didn't go so great. And there was a lot of face punching in that.
I mostly just remember the back breaking.
I couldn't watch it.
I felt like such a wuss. I was hiding behind my hands, and then I heard the noise, and then I was like,
I did wince badly. But
I have to say, congrats to the Foley guys, because that was a great sound that they did.
They did a really good sound.
It was awful.
Really good sound.
I thought all of the sound effects were actually pretty impressive.
They were magnificent.
I noticed a couple of times that they were really accurate.
They were really good. I would say I liked, too, there was a certain slick 80s aesthetic. Like, like a recession-era, like, 80s kind of look to Gotham. I don't know if that's just how Pittsburgh is.
It Blade Runner to me.
It was just pretty and cool.
I think that's just Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is interesting.
Pittsburgh's so Blade Runner. It's so 80s.
I did love...
I like that the bomb looked sort of 80s. Like,
yeah.
It also looked like an angry robot, like, with its set, like, frown and eyebrows, like,
I like.
I kept thinking of those things from Star Wars, the black floaty, the thing that, like, tortures torture devices? Princess Leia. Yeah, that thing is, the ones that they, like, float through the air. That's all I kept thinking of.
Yeah, I thought of a mad robot.
I was really into the scene where, what's his face? Gordon is, like, rolling around and trying to, like, put that, like, blocker.
Right?
Like, I was all in on that scene.
Mission Impossible crap, but, like, when the truck hit potholes, he, like, fell over.
I know.
Yeah.
He's still Commissioner Gordon. This is still
actually happening.
And then somehow, when the truck is, like, flipping all over the place, he doesn't get crushed by the bomb.
Oh, extraneous somehow. Character I cared nothing about, Matthew Modine.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, yeah. Who cares? He died. Good.
I guess he died so that Gordon may live.
For no bullet holes, like.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there in his dress uniform, like.
Oh. Right, like all wrenched over, like, wow, no redemption, no nothing. You suck.
Yeah.
You suck at fighting. Nice tiny pistol.
As far as other extraneous characters, though, I love the inclusion of the boys' school. That was a lot of fun.
I thought that was a good touch.
I thought it was good.
I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt sells it.
I think he sells it. I think if he weren't in this, I would feel maybe differently about that plot. Like, when he's out on the bridge and he's yelling about the bus, it feels kind of like they have to find something to do with him
in the action. That's true.
Like, although I think that they needed that point.
So that they can blow up the bridge.
Well, not even that, but I meant, like, I think that whole thing, like, why aren't we paying the orphanages anymore? I think that was another
that part's really good.
Becoming Batman again.
I just mean the bus.
Yeah.
I just mean the bus on the bridge.
Well, the bus was a little...
But I feel like, too, though, they needed a breaking moment for him where he really was like, fuck this shit. Because it's the rules.
That's
because
true, because it was the police.
That's true. But that feels like set up for a sequel that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You've killed us.
And the idea that people follow orders, that they just do what they're supposed to do without actually thinking about anything, and the idea that that's just too much for him. I really, as much as ridiculous as his monologue is about how I knew you were the Batman, I was like, that's
I loved it, actually. No, I didn't... I didn't mind any of those parts. I love that they...
Like orphans.
I think that he does...
I love the orphan speech, but I just think him going, I knew you were Batman just because I saw you as Bruce Wayne. I just thought that part was a little, like, a bit
of a stretch.
I think
it's actually... I mean, I thought later of that in a comic moment for me when it turns out that Commissioner Gordon was actually the only person on Earth who didn't know that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
I know!
I was like, willful ignorance.
Welcome to
great.
How cute is it? How cute
I love
it?
The moment when he's talking about really how, you know, you put a coat over a boy's shoulders.
And he's like, wait, when did I Bruce Wayne? Like, welcome to the party.
You dork. At the end when he's just happily stroking his new bat lab. Like, oh gosh golly.
So
like Blake gets the bat cave, the orphans get the mansion, Alfred gets whatever remains of the fortune, and then, like, Commissioner Gordon is clearly the happiest clam just because he has this light.
He just got a light.
He's just like, oh gosh. I love Gary Oldman because he's sort of a goober. Like, every once in a while his face just makes goober face, and I'm just like, I love you forever.
He's
for
just
being
so
such a,
happy.
Yeah.
Good.
So to recapitulate on ladies, I would say we all think Selena Kyle is the best. If we're going to, I mean, but making those sort of comparisons,
the, like, overtones they tried to make about, like, her buddy, whoever that was.
Oh yeah, the grifter girl.
Yeah, like, what
grifter
was that situation,
girl?
And how we never explored it at all in any way.
Because
I don't remember there being a lot of canonical evidence for that sort of behavior.
I don't know. I wonder if
or in any way working with other people.
I think they wanted to show that she was special too. Like, I think they wanted to show, like, lots of people come out of similar circumstances. Like, there are lots of rich people and there's only one Batman. There's lots of people that have been, like, wronged and turned to crime and there's only, like, one there are, like, extraordinary individuals that come from, like, you know, circumstances. Disparate circumstances.
Right.
I'm so sorry. But I would say, like, one of the things I was really happy about, even though, again, I've expressed displeasure at Miss Talia, I was really happy to have two women who were
two
fully formed ideas, like, and well-spoken, and, you know, they both had real motivations, and they were, at their hearts, sort of self-serving. Like, it was great that they neither of them was so into Batman that it compromised their plans. Like, I mean, I guess a little bit Catwoman at the end.
But I feel like what was kind of
great was they ever talk to each other?
No, I don't think they did.
I was just thinking about that because I was like, oh, this was really good. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I liked it because there wasn't a cat fight, though, right? Like, as soon as you find out that Talia's happening, you're like, they're going to make these girls fight each other because it's not cool for boys to fight girls.
Yeah, I really thought, I liked
the girl is Talia al Ghul.
Then you can punch that bitch.
You definitely have to punch that bitch. I loved how Selena Kyle was like, you're not going to hit a woman, so fuck you.
I am going to kick your cane out.
That was pretty great. Loved it. Whatever, I can hit you even if you don't want to hit me, whatever.
Sexy maid, and then she drops off the cliff. She takes off her tiny collar.
Yeah.
And abducts that senator so later no one can kill her. It's so awesome.
That was so awesome.
She was really good. Although there was some slight continuity issues with her shoes in some of the more action-oriented fights.
Whatever. Anything is better than Halle Berry's open-toed sandals.
Badass. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to be in practical shoes for this fight. Oh, but my heels are back now.
Whatever. Way better. Do you guys remember Halle Berry Catwoman?
Oh, God, it was terrible.
I never watched that. What are you talking about?
I didn't watch it either, but I observed her outfit choice.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
I saw some of the fight scenes.
Crime fighting shoes of doom. Your toes are going to get broken.
Yeah.
At least cover your toes. I don't know why it upsets me so much.
If you're going to change your shoes for action sequences, you better make sure they don't show up in the final cut.
Oh, man, I love those silver heels, though, when she like holds that guy's neck up.
Those are awesome, but that's what she's not wearing in the actual fights.
She's way more flexible than me, P.S., and I love Anne Hathaway. I love her giant face. I love everything about her. She's got a real ass, like, her body.
Right? Like, she's got an actual
Her body is smoking in this. I was sitting next to my fiance, and we were both just like, she's like on that motorcycle, and they're all these beautiful, like, look at Anne Hathaway's body shots.
Oh, man, and the first
time,
when she's blowing the hole in the rubble, and she has to, like, get situated on the bike, and you watch her, like, spine arch down.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, totally. So do we have any sort of closing thoughts on the series? I know I'm going to miss Batman movies, and I think that this installment of Batman was one of the most appropriate,
You
know, like,
I mean,
90s excess Batman, this just excels.
Yeah. And I mean, I know it's inevitable that there's going to be more reboots and there's going to be more Batman movies later, but I kind of hope there won't be.
Yeah,
because these ones are so good.
I know what you mean, but at the same time, I feel like Batman is sort of like James Bond in that we just see iterations more so than reboots. And like, what I like about it is sort of in the style of comics, we don't have like, it's like they start anew. It's like, it's like every it's issue one every time it goes back, and you're just like,
but
oh,
like,
now we're doing
sometimes
this.
Sometimes that's good, and sometimes
it's not. I just want to curl up with it. I just want to, like, if I had to watch, like, these three movies exclusively for, like, the next 2 weeks, I'd just be a happy girl. Like, oh, no.
They're so good.
I would just eat brie and watch these movies.
I think whenever this one comes out on DVD, I'm definitely going to do a Batman marathon.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I love how Batman, I think, is always a reflection of his time.
That's absolutely true.
Yes.
And that's not always true of every superhero movie, but I feel like that is absolutely true of Batman. He always has been. You have Adam West, who's totally a 60s Batman.
Right.
You have the 90s opulence and the kind of really tongue-in-cheek.
Did we notice
Batman.
The Adam West movie moment in Dark Knight Rises when he's trying to, like, figure out how to get rid of the bomb, and then he decides he's going to drop it in the water? I was totally waiting for there to be ducks. Like, fly over some nuns or something. I was like, yeah, he's gonna have to get rid of the bomb.
Oh my gosh, how smug are you if you're Bruce Wayne and you're like, oh, well, you couldn't figure out the autopilot? I totally made that program.
Yeah. Right, like, fixed it. Boom.
Now I'm gonna go to Rome with my hot girlfriend.
Can we also wonder why he decided not to drop the atom bomb and make it less effective by putting it under the water before it exploded? Because I feel like giving maximum radiation is probably not the way you want to do it.
I don't know, man.
My brother and I were sitting there like, yeah, you're not dead yet, but you've all got cancer.
And
Gotham
flipper
City,
hand baby.
Cancer City.
I thought that was the point, though, is that it had a radiation radius of 6 miles, is what they said.
No, that was the blast radius.
I thought they said something about the radiation was also within... They said, I can't remember what it was, but
but you've also had this deteriorating radioactive core driving all around the city for five months. Everyone has cancer.
That's true.
Everyone.
It's everyone's least favorite prom date. So you guys want to do an MFK?
We're going to do an MFK. If anybody doesn't know what that is marry, fuck, or kill. See, we have three choices. Lindsay, do you want to do the honors?
Our three choices are... Round of... I don't know if you can hear that. I was trying to make some drumming noises.
Okay, good. Sad drum roll.
Drumming noises are Adam West. Mm-hmm. Then are we doing... Who did we decide was second one? Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
And then
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Because no George Clooney or Val Kilmer.
They don't exist! Even though I will say that one of my artifacts of the 90s on tape is the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Well, yeah.
Oh, so good. Dance Around a Kiss from a Rose. Like, it was my job.
Alright.
So I would definitely... this is so hard.
See, I feel like this question answers itself. I feel like this is really easy. Right? Like, this is super easy.
You guys, I can't believe you're going to do this. Go ahead.
It's correct, and I don't really understand your reasoning.
I have reasonings, and we'll discuss them.
You fuck the crap out of Christian Bale.
Hell yeah, you do.
Because, please.
Like, can we just to pause, and not to go super girl on this, but he looks so hot with those gray streaks in his hair. I didn't know what to do with myself.
He did look really hot. And that's what's causing me to question you guys. Like, my feelings for Christian Bale have changed because of this movie.
Oh, I see. That's very interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think... No, continue, Nissa. You were just fucking Christian Bale.
So, we fuck Christian Bale.
Yeah.
We kill Michael Keaton because...
Yeah, we do.
And then you marry Adam West because you want Jolly Batman for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
He's too much...
Shark repellent spray, when is that not going to be useful?
Yeah, very true.
I love Adam West Batman. Full disclosure, my last name was once used as an onomatopoeia bam word. Cronk. Someone was hit with a table. Also keeping that name when I get married because it's the best name. But... I really love him. I feel like he's a little too goofy. And then as soon as he's ruled out for being slightly too goofy, I don't want to have sex with him. So I'm going to fuck the hell out of Christian Bale, even though he's a little sad. And I'm sorry to leave him afterwards.
Right.
And I just feel like I'm pulling a Talia a Ghul on him. But not holding his seed.
But you don't need those issues
in a creepy
forever.
Way. And then I'm going to marry Michael Keaton because he has a good... He's fun. He's fun, and I like his eyebrows, and he reminds me actually of
Lewis. That's fair.
So that's fair.
He also still retains his fortune, so you'd be well taken care of.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's
He's
true.
Got the money.
Because what's the point of poor Batman?
No. You just love that one and leave him.
Right?
Just toss him aside.
With all that rage, that's going
to... Yeah, he's got some anger. Also, you know his back is going to hurt a lot.
You wouldn't be able to go into very many positions, I feel like.
Okay, so, yeah, no, I mean, it's just, when they put him in that rope, and he's just like, ah! I was like, how is this gonna help anything? I don't understand how broken backs work,
really,
but I feel like this
that,
is...
that hip medicine is, there's a vertebrae sticking out your back, I'm gonna punch it
in!
Yeah.
Like, wachow, you're fixed!
Man, plus it's bad doctor. I feel like you can't trust anything.
Also,
he's like Dr. Oz in the pit.
They, like, waited a couple months for him to, like, roll over and be like, oh, yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, we should maybe fix that. Like,
yeah, no, but I love that it takes him three tries. It feels really, like a parable is the other thing.
I really liked the first time that he fell, and you were just like, yeah, you can't just do that.
I was so afraid he was going to re-break his back, which Lewis told me was a totally ridiculous concern. But, like, they had him all strung by a rope,
I assumed
that they, like, went
I assumed
crazy.
Every time he re-broke his back and had to heal.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my gosh. Is that the case? Because that makes this movie even more stressful.
Right.
But I still want to hang out with it.
Over the course of, like, 5 months, so, like, I'm not sure you can recover from spinal breakage.
I'm thinking
three times in 5 months.
I'm thinking that we should close it out, actually, though, with an MFK of villains.
Okay.
From these movies, even though it may answer itself too. Scarecrow, Bane, and the Joker.
Oh, shit.
Like, Bane as presented in this movie?
Yes. Bane, you're going to marry him.
I sure am. Because I will have that every night.
He's he's got a plan, and it's awesome. There's a time for fear, but it is not
also
now.
Also, definitely make him recite all of Dr. Kane's lines.
Yes.
There's a super cut of them on YouTube.
Other people's lines in that voice too. Every movie you ever watched, say it. Say it right now.
And he'd be like,
Shakespeare to me in your ridiculous voice.
At night, he'd be like, "I love you very much, Nisa." Shall we adjourn to the bedchamber?
yeah, we will.
But yeah, now we're gonna marry Bane, and then I think I'm gonna have sex with a scarecrow because the Joker is just too insane.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I hate to say this because.
Yeah, you kind of have to kill the Joker because even though, you know, he's got his own kind of sexy, you're just like, you're too crazy to live.
You're too crazy to live. And then the thing is, too, like, by, like, it's a little like, you know, you're gonna have some hallucinogenic drugs, right?
Yeah.
With the scarecrow. Yeah. And you're just going to have a wild night of weird scarecrow passion.
Right? And then later you'll remember, oh, he's just a, you know, bad psychologist.
Yeah, with some eyewear.
But he's still killing Murphy, so it's not like he's going to...
Yeah, no, that's... I mean, it's not like you'd really regret that one too much. Yes.
Right? Like, it's fine. He's just a little kind of loser with a bag face.
Yeah.
You know, when he's being scarecrow.
Yes.
Which is not to insinuate in any way that Killian Murphy has a bag face.
No.
Definitely.
Because if he does, that's the sexiest bag I've ever seen.
And then I guess we could do one last... I'm so sorry, audience. Once I get into MFK mode, I have a really hard time stopping. You want to do the ladies? Rachel,
the ladies.
Talia,
oh.
And, you know, obviously
really?
Catwoman.
This
Rachel,
is the easiest
Talia,
one to... Oh, so easy.
Killing Talia, she blows.
I'm gonna do exactly what Batman inadvertently did. I'm gonna kill Rachel.
I'm gonna finish her.
And I'm gonna marry Selena Kyle.
I can't believe you're killing Rachel. I wanna do
Why
it.
Would yes! See, I wouldn't.
No.
Because Rachel's too harmless.
Rachel cares about the city. Rachel's doing her civic duty. Rachel's like the ultimate lesbian love partner. Like,
she's boring.
You're part of a lesbian
so
power
boring.
Couple with her. She's gonna like
I'd rather have
be the
Talia
DA
running around making mayhem.
No,
that
like,
just makes
I'm gonna,
a pet person.
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna marry Rachel because we're gonna have like a CFA share together and like beautiful children that are gonna be educated at Gotham's finest institutions.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna shag Catwoman because she's a babe and a half. Just like, ooh.
I'd probably marry Catwoman.
She's awesome.
Like jewels. Yeah. I mean, she can give me
She's
jewelry.
Gonna get you all the pretties.
Exactly.
But then you won't have Bane. Oh, you turned
that's
me
not
over
true.
For
These
Catwoman.
These are separate incidences. I can marry both of them.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
Also, if I had
could
to
imagine
choose,
being
I would
to
definitely
both
marry...
Both
oh my god. My life would be amazing.
So, any parting words, babes?
Just thank you to Mr. Nolan for creating such an awesome trilogy. That was so enjoyable. I've had a lot of fun keeping track and keeping up and reading spoilers and just watching the movies in general.
I'm
it
sad
was
that
nice
it's over.
To see, you know, smart superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, if any superhero was going to do it, Batman was a good choice. And I just think they did such a good job making this not a dumbed down like popcorn series.
Also, we got Heath Ledger as the Joker, which was
right?
a pretty great
we got
gift
so
to the
many
world.
Iconic performances.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, definitely. He did the source material justice. Like he really.
Absolutely.
Batman has so much potential. Like there's like it's the best set of villains of any superhero, right?
It's true.
Like there aren't any weird goofy like ones. Like there's no like the Hunter.
Yeah,
maybe there is, but like you've got like awesome villains, and I feel like Nolan did a really good job picking and choosing.
I really appreciated the moment where they acknowledged that Batman does have some stupid villains, and when they were like, "Did he see a giant crocodile?"
That was pretty great. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh,
But yeah,
it felt really good, and if this is the last we see of Gotham for a while, it's the best. So
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
I think with that we'll say adieu. Good night, listeners, and we'll be back with another installment soon.